Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Dean Val with the Creative Literal Side Show. We're on every other Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time. And I'm, again, Dean Val of Nations United Universal University. And this is sort of a variety show. We have all kinds of interesting topics that we cover. We're joined every week by two regular guests, and I'll have them introduce themselves today. And this is Mike and Bob. And before I do that, again, I'm Dean Val, and I'm hosting the show. And what we have is a real education and real guidance for everybody that we provide. And this is for the world. It doesn't matter who you are, what you believe, or your background, your experiences. We're here for everybody. And so let's get into the regular guests here again, are Mike and Bob. Would you like to, Bob, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hello, everybody. I'm Bob Sailing from North Central Wisconsin. And I just have an interest in a wide variety of subjects, and I can't wait to hear what our guest has to say today.
Thanks, Bob. And Mike, a short intro, what you do or what you're about?
Hi, this is Mike Mason from Southern California, and my show and tell is a lifetime of dealing with the system and all of the events surrounding it and the present. The scenarios that are now in place and working.
Thanks, Mike. Okay, for our special guest that we're going to be interviewing today is Tony Lavoti, and he's the founder of IDEA, IDEA, International Development Exchange Association. IDEA's mission is to build 21st century infrastructure eco-villages starting in Native America and rural Rwanda. IDEA eco-villages are designed to function within nature, not change nature to function. IDEA's ecosystem formula is regenerative, restorative, sustainable, and prosperity making environment for its workers and inhabitants. So Tony, this sounds a little bit like some of the other eco villages that I've read about, especially the permaculture type, where you're working with nature and you're establishing off-grid and systems of trade and exchange and working together, and you're basically working with the environment. So welcome, Tony, to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Val. I know we talked over a year and a half ago and about our project, and thank you for the opportunity to give you an update on its evolution.
Yeah, I met Tony at the Indian Canyon in Hollister, California. We were at a bear ceremony, I believe, at that point, and we talked afterwards and we exchanged, I told him about some of our projects here with the New Presentation Foundation, like the Vessel Projects and the schools and new school homeschool, and which we've done since then, and the university. So Tony sounded like he's doing some interesting things, and they're right there in Indian Canyon. You're building a structure there, is that it?
Well, we're erecting a structure there. We haven't done it yet. Since we last talked, we've acquired land in the foot of Volcano Mountain in rural Rwanda, right next actually to Ellen DeGeneres' Wildlife Foundation operation. And then we have the land, the spot at Indian Canyon, to erect two microweight structures. We call them microweight structures. There as a marketing platform for the first phase of our idea business plan, and that is to market to the emergency refugee homeless marketplace, and within a very affordable kind of structure. The microweight structures are lightweight, and they can be assembled and erected from the ground up without needing any kind of large machinery or ladders or whatever. And it also, the foundation is unique in that it sits on top of the ground. It's not ensconced deeply into the ground. And because of that, we don't have to alter the natural environment in any way, because these structures can be erected on the sides of hills, around trees, around boulders. Our concept is to develop, aside from the marketing of this to the emergency housing, our concept is to develop 21st century infrastructure eco villages anew with land that has not been altered or changed in any way with 20th century technology. So our concept with the idea to build 21st century eco villages in starting in Native America and rural Rwanda is to go to unused land and build the infrastructure from ground up anew without changing any aspect of the natural environment. So in other words, if you're looking at, let's say, just 100 acres of land, and you got trees and you got boulders and you got rocks, et cetera, et cetera, and you, let's say you're going to our typical eco villages, estimated around 1,000 people, including, you know, women, men, and children. The concept is to say, okay, how do we create a infrastructure utilizing all these great new amazing breakthroughs in infrastructure and energy, transportation, construction, waste management, et cetera. It's just amazing what has occurred in the last 5 years without changing the environment in any way. That's why we are following the Native Americans who have did it for 55,000 years or more. Only this time we'll be doing it with 21st century technologies. And our business plan in respect to the microweight structure, it's a structured insulated panel, very lightweight, and that's why you can build from the ground up. And since we've last talked, we've made some major breakthroughs on this microweight structure building technology that was originated over 40 years ago. We've made some major upgrades to it, and we've gotten to the place where one component, similar to the geodesic dome, but an improvement on that, but one building component, and it's a geometric kind of design, can build any size structure, any size, with the same one. Again, the foundation, as I mentioned earlier, so we're shooting for, in our first phase, to create space, as we call it, for less than $10 a square foot. Now, what's in that space is additional to that. But creating the space, the shell, the shelter that sits lightly on the land that can be erected in one day, let's say a 28-square-foot structure can be erected in one day, and we're shooting for cost in a mass-produced kind of way, because we're talking about one component as far as the structure at the foundation. Foundation is two components. Can build any size structure, and when we mass produce those pieces, we'll be able to get the cost per square foot down very low.
It's along the lines of the geocentric dome. Is that what you said?
It's similar to that in that one building component is used to create the structure. Ours is different because it does not require, it allows, our system allows you to build from the ground up. Unlike a geodesic dome, you need ladders and lifts, et cetera. Our system starts with the foundation, which is another breakthrough in technology. I can get into that in a little more detail. But once you have the foundation that's sitting lightly on the ground, but tethered firmly into the ground, we build from the ground up with this one component. So that's why it's a little different than geodesic dome. And also the design provides more a space, a geodesic dome, and it's hard to explain without seeing it.
And what material is this made out of, the structure?
Well, it's a structured insulated panel with a eighth-inch walls, and the center being the insulation. And there are many new, good, environmentally sound insulation materials now. The medium can be any kind of medium. It could be our prototypes have been in plywood, eighth-inch plywood. It could be done in stainless steel. Could be done in plexiglass. Could be done in porcelain, ceramic. It could be any medium. The medium that we're going to use when we erect our first two structures will probably be at this point a change. It would be the plywood, the eighth inch walls with the 5/8 inch center insulation.
Is that what's going up in Indian Canyon with the plywood?
Yes.
Okay. See, I'm going to open it up. The lines are open. If any of the listeners, Bob, Mike, if you'd like to ask questions or have comments with Bertone, go ahead. I think the lines are open. So, Bob or Mike, or do you have a question or comment?
Well, I guess Bob doesn't have a comment or a question. I guess my only question would be, have you started this kind of a process here in this country as well?
We've been, just to give you a little history, this project started over 40 years ago in Santa Cruz, California, where I was a part of it in its development, and 8 prototypes were created. And then a tragic story, the whole thing just stopped in 1992. Just stopped. And I don't want to get into that tragic story. That's another story. And I inherited, let me put it that way, I inherited the technology. And it sat in my file cabinet for over 20 years. with my intention to always bring it back at when I was ready to do that. And that's what we did when we formed IDEA. And since then, we've taken that 40-year-old building technology and improved. Not that it needed a lot of improvement, but some key areas. And we've done that with some 3D modeling, architectural engineering, civil engineering kinds of applications. Now we're in a funding stage to actually take that evolution of the microwave structure and create two prototypes. Again, one will be erected at Indian Canyon and one that will be erected at the land in rural Rwanda. And those will be used as marketing platforms, as I mentioned earlier, as the first phase of the IDEA business plan. The second phase is, the first phase is to erect the structures. The second phase is to market them. The third phase is to then take, leverage those profits that we've accrued against public sector funds and then build the first two fully functional 21st century IDEA eco villages, which is all online and will summarize what they are. It's a formula with the key being the construction. You got to have a roof over your head, but employing the latest infrastructure technologies in transportation, waste management, energy. There's eight industry sectors. Communications. We have a holistic preventive medicine center, et cetera. And it's all designed to be restorative, regenerative, self-sustaining, and prosperity-making by replicating the Echo Village as in its whole model, or by exporting or marketing various green technologies that emerge out of those first two eco-villages. So the workers and inhabitants of those eco-villages create prosperity for themselves by doing that, by representing what they're doing. And then as far as addressing populations, large populations, let's say 1,000 people, you got another 1,000 people or another million people you have to house, or you have to create an environment for them to prosper in and to live zero emission, positive green way. You just create another eco village with its own unique management and leaders, and that connects to the next one, and then that connects to the next one, and then this creates an organic system for trade and investment between those eco villages, sharing new breakthroughs and on the initial models, sharing the technologies, sharing the experiences, and et cetera. So it creates a prosperity-making environment for the inhabitants of IDEA 21st Century Echo Villages.
I see you're working with the sovereign lands of the Native Americans and probably Rwanda, too. There's not the building codes and permits that you have to go through?
Well, Native America, we don't have to deal with that at this point. In rural Rwanda, these structures, they're permanent in nature, but they're portable. You can take them down and you can leave the land as you first saw it. Again, following the beauty of how Native Americans lived in harmony with the land, but only doing the 21st century technologies. So because they're portable in nature, but yet permanent in function, that opens up new ways that you can erect these structures in respect to building codes and regulations and et cetera. And in the sense of rural Rwanda, our first, we have the land, our first effort to erect the structure will be strictly as a model that can be taken down, portable, so that we're not addressing any issues of compliance with the authorities. The concept is that in Africa and in Native America, when you look at all the land that is undeveloped in Native America, and you look at all the land that is undeveloped in Rwanda and good parts of Africa, the concept is instead of creating prosperity for your populace the 20th century way, as we have done in the last 200 years, and now we're just trying to fix what we've created in this old technology, of the way we deal with our waste, the way we build homes, the way we move our water, gas, energy, etc. We start anew. So Native America in rural Africa, the continent, can have the choice now. Do they go the old 20th century way, and that has brought us to the point of degradation that we currently experience? Or do we go into a 21st century infrastructure? And we believe IDEA is the beginning of that process. And we see it as part of the process of saving our planet. We see Native America and rural Rwanda, and it's interesting, they both share a very violent histories of genocide. They will be the people that will lead us into this new 21st century infrastructure world.
You have a... what's the idea with water and heat and flooring for these structures? How are they incorporated?
Flooring, F-L-O-O-R-I-N-G?
Yeah, the floor.
Well, the flooring, okay, again, is all based on the materials we use, but it's a unique technology for our foundation, which creates the floor. And that's a whole nother subject. I can tell you that it sits on bowling balls. If you can imagine a bowling ball,
are built from tires, so you know I can imagine.
Well, yeah, you can imagine a bowling ball that's half immersed in the ground, with the top half being shown and the bottom half in the ground. And then also this unique, again, this, we had 8 prototypes and a very unique way of creating lightweight foundation. It's another process. The foundation is one technology. The structure itself, that one component I referred to earlier, is the other part. So the floor, the concept is that these components become utilities. And as you put up the foundation, you're creating the floor. It's hard to explain. You'd have to see the drawings, et cetera, but, and the former prototypes. There is an earlier prototype online at 21st Century, 21stcenturyidea.com, 21stcenturyidea.com. And that particular structure, and again, this was 1980, so that's 30. Four of us put that up at the Spring Fair in 4 hours. And people were walking around at the Spring Fair, and it shows the picture there and online. They were kind of amazed, and we all said, well, this is the future, you know, 40 years, 50 years, it's going to be a different world. Well, obviously, it's interesting, nothing... really has changed in our current infrastructure. Another example of that, I'm an older guy. I'm a boomer. I'm an old boomer. I remember going to Disneyland as a kid in 1957 or something like this, and I saw the monorail. And, you know, we got in a car. We drove down the freeway in 1957. We went to Disneyland. I saw the monorail. My first reaction to that as a kid is, oh, man, when I'm an old guy, the world is going to be really different. It's going to be really different. Well, interestingly enough, since that time, it hasn't changed one bit. You still get on the freeway to Anaheim. We lived in the San Fernando Valley. And those monorails are still the same and really haven't been employed in this country since then. But I think all of that is going to change dramatically in the next 10, 20. We're going to see major, major changes in our infrastructure. And America will probably, with the exception of our project, a Native America, will probably be the last to adopt it. That's why the African continent now is becoming the testbed for new technologies, because they can go from the 19th century to the 21st century. They can leapfrog immediately, and or any other areas where there's undeveloped land. I don't know if I was getting off on a little tangent, but I hope I answered your question.
Yes. Yes. Okay. I'll bring in anybody else have a comment or question?
Yeah, I finally have. Hello, Tony.
Here's Bob.
Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, you know, you say you're one of the benefits of your structures is they can be built in one day or put up in one day.
They can be erected in one day.
Well, you know, my wife and I were looking at dome homes, and you say your technology is a little bit advanced with that, but over by St. Paul, Minnesota, there's an outfit that makes dome homes, and you need to pour a concrete foundation ahead of time, and then once you have the concrete foundation, like maybe a 50-foot diameter geodesic dome, they have the frames pre-built, and a crew of three can put the entire structure up and have it rainproof in one afternoon. The entire structure,
yeah.
And once it's built, these geodesic domes can withstand up to 300 mile an hour winds. They're basically hurricane and tornado proof. And so the thing that I'm wondering about, I mean, since I haven't seen your structures, how are they going to perform in real high winds and conditions like that? What keeps them from blowing away if you're just setting them on the ground and don't have them structurally tied down and very lightweight?
Thank you for that question. I'm sorry, what is your name?
My name's Bob, but my wife Sandy is one of...
Well, he took my question. I was curious as to how your structures withstand, let's say, hurricane winds or earthquakes or other climatic conditions.
I understand that. As we know, 300 mile an hour winds is pretty good. Most traditional... I mean, there isn't many places in the world that can withstand 300 mile an hour winds, no matter what you have. But that's pretty good. Now, keep in mind that the microwave structure is exactly that. It's microwave. It's about creating space in the most effective, efficient, and affordable manner that you can do it. And because it's lightweight, when it comes together, it becomes very strong. It becomes monocoque is a term they use. It becomes one piece. It becomes very strong when it's all connected. Similar to the dome, but keep in mind, this is only an eighth inch, seven-eighth of an inch thick SIP, structured insulated panel. Not a panel. It's a little different design. As far as the foundation and winds... Now, in our experience in our 7 prototype, we had one 70 mile an hour winds that had no problems. The way it works, because it's lightweight, it's tethered firmly into the ground on each corner, okay, and it's screwed down in the form. And so 300 mile an hour winds, I don't know. Not many things that can take that, but it will take high winds, and it becomes very permanent. And because it's light, it's one piece, but it's firmly tethered into the ground. Now, we noticed that as far as earthquakes are concerned, and we did experience two earthquakes in our prototypes back in the 89 earthquake and one before that. This is Northern California.
Mm-hmm.
That there was no damage because they just sort of bounced as the earthquake and as different the natures of earthquakes are different. Sometimes they go left or right and there's a big jerk. Sometimes they just rumble. I've been in three, so I know that one in L.A. was a rumble. The one up here was a jerk. These kind of just sort of bounce on top of the ground. And the one monocoque shape doesn't, because you're not ensconced into the ground, and I don't, I've been talking to some geodesic people. They're interested in our foundation. I think our foundation would be more effective for their domes. The whole concept is you don't, yeah, you can put the thing up in a day, but you said you have to go in there with the cement and build the foundation. Now you're changing the environment. You're moving rocks. You're cutting down trees. You're moving fauna. You're disrupting nature. And the microwave structure doesn't do that. Again, the concept is to live lightly on the ground, to take the Native Americans' way of living and only bring it to a 21st century to evolve it into a 21st century way of doing that.
Okay, I have two more questions. One is, what do you go by circumference when you erect these, or what does the finished product appear to look like? And also, what is the median temperature inside of these? Does it remain constant?
Okay. If I forget the second question, please remind me. I'll go to the first one. What was your first question again? I'm sorry.
Do they go by circumference? Are they circular?
Yeah.
Or what do they look like? What does the outside look
like?
This
is geometric square geometry. We're talking about squares.
Okay.
It's all about squares, okay?
Okay.
As opposed to geodesic is a diameter, is a circle, this is square.
Okay. How many square feet do you erect these structures?
Well, we're working on
people?
I'm sorry?
No, I was just going to say, can you get various sizes?
Like no. Again, it's it's one building component, one piece.
Okay.
That two people can carry because it's lightweight.
Okay.
You can do. You can go off road. You can build these things off road.
Okay. How many square feet?
It can be. It's as long as it's square, because you can make an amphitheater out of the same piece.
Okay. And then the rooms inside are sectioned off, so to speak.
No, we're just about a shell. No, we're talking about
a shell. Okay.
Now we have, we had a prototype that showed this years ago, but we're working on that. We can create second and third floors using the same lightweight kinds of technology. So to answer your question, if you look online, that isn't the way it looks now. That's using a lot of the technology of the foundation and the structure insulated panel, but if you look at it, I'm telling you, you've never seen anything like it. It looks different, but I'd say its closest thing would be more like in a pyramid shape.
Okay. And does the temperature stay constant?
Oh, yes. So, as I mentioned earlier, I lived in one, a small one, for 6 months behind a Victorian in downtown Santa Cruz years ago for 6 months. It was one of the most comfortable beds I ever had because it was an 8x8 structure. It was the minimum one. You start with 8 square feet and go up to as big as you want to go to. And it was bolted and screwed together then. It wasn't snapped together. And I had a little space heater. You know, it goes on when it gets hot. It gets cold. Thermostat. And I went through just some cold winter that time. And that thing was just toasty and and comfortable as any space I've ever slept in. The reason being is that because of these SIPs, structure insulated panels, are 7/8 inches thick, right? So with the skin is a quarter inch thick. So the eighth inch and then 5/8 inch in the middle is insulation. When they come together and sealed, and these were bolted and screwed, and the R factor becomes very, very good because nothing, no heat is lost, right? Because again, it becomes like one piece. So you have good insulation. Like back then, you see, this was again back in the 70s, 80s, we were working with 5/8 inch high density styrofoam, which is a very good material for insulation. It's very lightweight. I know you've seen it probably, but it's hard. You know, it's not like styrofoam you can stick your thumb in it. You can do that, but it's hard. It's high density styrofoam. And
let me interrupt there, Tony. Since you're talking about R values, what is the R value of a sheet?
Well, that's something that we have not had recently. Back then, and this is with the other kind of roofing structure or different.
I mean, every piece of material has an R factor. Like if you go lumber yard and buy a 1-inch thick styrofoam, it has an R factor of something like
about
11?
About 15 to 20. Now, at least that was our informal way of managing it back then. We haven't tested the R factor with the new materials and the new insulation we're using because we plan to use, there's an amazing amount of new organic insulation materials coming out now. You guys probably know about it. It's incredible, the explosion of new kinds of insulation materials, hempcrete being one of them, but there are so many more. Aerocrete, about four or five that I've come across of. We want this, of course, to not use styrofoam. We want this to be an organic material. So that has to be proven of the best insulation to use in this, and that's the stage we're at now. That's why we're in that funding stage.
Excuse me, Tony. So you say, all right, so I was under the impression that the walls were in themselves, what did you say, like 3/4 inch?
No, the walls.
Were already insulated, but you're going to add insulation on top of that is what you're saying.
No. What I'm saying is, okay, let's just go with what the early prototypes are. Let's just go with that right now. Think of a SIP, a structured insulated panel, with eighth inch skins, right? Wait a second. Why am I thinking it is quarter inch? Skins, okay, plywood. And then inside of that, think of a high-density styrofoam being between those skins.
Yes, it's a composite sandwich. I understand that.
Yeah.
I mean, I've worked with all that. I've worked with honeycomb, you know, using resin structures and very high insulating values. And, honeycomb like they use on the flaps for a 747, it'll withstand 350 mile an hour winds without breaking or bending. I mean, I'm just trying to get a feel for what it is that you're doing here, you say you buy these like one piece for, I mean, you can haul them down the road on the back of a truck and it's already preformed, or I'm. You completely lost me there.
Well, what was your previous question? Because I think we got lost.
First off, the question was how many square feet a building? Like we have a house that's like 2,200 square feet. You know, this geodesic dome I was telling you about, the one that we were looking at. has the diameter, the open space is 50 feet across.
Yeah.
And can go up in one afternoon. Of course, like I said, you need the concrete foundation for it. But once you have a bell that's earthquake-proof and it's wind-proof and lightning-proof,
yeah,
and, you know, it's kind of like, but it is semi-permanent in the fact that you can't move you can't dig up the foundation, but you can disassemble all the rest of, apart from the foundation, you can disassemble it in one day and move it to another location. So, in that sense,
it's
portable.
Yeah, no, I'm very, you know, I know all about geodesic domes.
And yours, you say they're square, sort. You have a square foundation, and if you want, let's say you wanted three bedrooms, you know, had three people living in your house.
Right.
How many square feet is, you know, I don't want to live like in a bathroom, you know, the 2 feet by 4 feet or whatever it was you said. I'm interested in a little bit more.
No, that was just something I slept in, but it was very comfortable. Let me, if I can answer your question. Your question is, how big can you make them? No.
Yeah. Basically. Yeah. I mean, what is a typical average
when I live,
size? Like for a, let's say you have a family, you know, a husband and wife and like two kids. What would be a typical size that you would provide for them? That's all I'm asking. I mean, how livable is this? Or is this emergency? Are you talking about an emergency structure that just to get by on, or something that's going to be in comfort? You know, that's I'm trying to get the picture here.
Okay, good. Good. I'm glad you asked those questions. I think it's both. Now, let me answer that question about size. Okay, the one I lived in was the first basic. It's hard to explain the technology if, you know, you get into details. It was the smallest unit that you can have with this technology. It was 8 by 8 feet. My bed was 4 by 8 feet. It was in a loft. It was lofted up 8 feet high. The peak of the structure was, I think, 16 feet. So you can go 8 feet, 12 feet, 16 feet, 20 feet, square feet, 24 square feet, 28 square feet, 32 square feet.
No, you're saying you're with a open space, 20 feet square with nothing in, but just the walls 20 feet apart, right?
We're talking about.
Are you talking about modular?
We're talking about, it's modular, yes. We're talking about creating space.
So what you're saying is, rather than having 20 feet by 20 feet with an open space like a big living room, you're talking about an 8 by 8 next to another 8 by 8 next to another 8 by 8, right?
No, they're not 8 by 8s.
Well, what did you say?
I'm saying this
8 by 8 was the smallest structure, right?
I'm saying that I'm saying that this one building component, which we called an HP, and I'll explain that later. We're getting into the breakthrough here in the technology. This one piece, which, again, I'll say it's lightweight. It's 7/8 inch in diameter, the SIP. Two people can carry it any place. I'll tell you that. It can get off road, et cetera. That one piece can be connected. Let me put it this way. The one I lived in, 8 square feet for 6 months, that had 4 of these pieces. Okay. Now, the one in our new 3 modeling, the breakthrough we made, is that 4 of these pieces now can be connected to make any size structure, any size, using that same one component, this one piece, you can make any size structure just by. But you have to start off the foundation. I want a 6,000 square foot foundation. Okay, you come up with a 6,000 square foot structure. You can put up a structure that I would say, again, looks kind of more like a pyramid, but it would create 600 square feet. Now, what do you do with all that space up above? Well, utilizing the same, in the case of, let's say, three bedrooms, we're talking about creating a shell here, hopefully for less than $10 a square foot, okay? Once you have the shell, it's all, the R factor is very high, it's very tight, sitting lightly on the ground, it's secured safely into the ground. Okay, you have to say, okay, what do we do all this? Let's say it's 28 square foot. And those are the sizes we're going to put up in Indian Canyon, 28 square foot. Okay, our models have a floor, a second floor to it.
Well, the floor, you know, 28, is, when you say 28 square feet, you know, 28
yeah.
square feet, I mean, to me, if I'm mathematically correct, when you say 28 square feet, it's, that's something on the order of 7 feet long and 4 feet wide.
No, 28 feet square. Let me put it down.
Okay, well, that's a lot different saying 28 feet square versus 28 square feet. Two different birds there.
Okay, and excuse me, I'm a business person, so please excuse me. I just work with really great people, but.
That's fine. I'm not trying
yeah,
to give you a hard time. I'm just trying to understand what you're saying. All right, so
okay.
with a 28 by 28, if the walls are 20, they're, it's a square, like a rectangle, with the walls going that are 28 feet across. Like the north-south wall would be 28 feet from the east-west wall, which would be 28 feet. So you have 28 times 28, 256 square feet. That's all
no.
in the middle, right?
Over 1,000 square feet. I forgot the math on it. 28 square feet. That's 28 feet square. So 28
so,
times 4.
I mean, you still have not answered my stupid question. Is it all open space in between? Is it like an open 28 by 28 feet, or is it modular where you have different pieces filling it up?
Okay, I'm sorry for that.
I don't see why it's so
hard to answer your
question.
I
mean, if I stand on one wall, can I walk across 28 feet? Can I walk from one corner to the one corner to the other corner without hitting anything? Is what I'm asking.
It's a shell. It has
so
a roof.
There's no in between supporting structure, is what you're saying.
Now, when you want to put in lofts, there is. And it's utilizing the same technology as the foundation.
Okay, so like for example, and I understand that. I can understand that if you're going to put something of weight above, that you have to have some sort of support underneath. I understand that. But like my garage, my three-car garage is 28 feet by 28 feet. It's open. I can walk anywhere in that garage without hitting a wall or a post.
Yeah, okay, it's
have.
A shell. What you do within that shell, if you want a second story, you can do that. A loft.
Okay,
or
well,
whatever.
I'm not asking about a second story. Now, when you say it's a 28 by 28 shell, what kind of a roof do you have over the top of that?
The structure is the roof. It's like a geodesic, look at the geodesic dome, same thing.
Well, you said it wasn't a dome. You said it was more like a pyramid or something.
That's right, it's different. It's as far as, and you know, I've sort of been into this for many, many years. It's a hobby for the last 25 years.
Okay, let me ask you this. How high are the, when you have the 28 by 28 feet walls, what is the height of the walls?
It depends where you're standing, just like in a geodesic dome.
No, the height of the walls are the height of the walls. I mean, it doesn't matter if I'm in the building or not. The height of the walls, like the height of the walls in my house are like, you know, like 10 feet, 2 inches or something. I mean,
okay, if you're in the center of the 28 square foot, you're standing in the center of that.
You said they're square walls, right?
No, hold on, please. Let me
answer your
question. Let me answer your question. We're
okay.
talking about 28 feet square, 28 by 28 feet by 28 by 28 feet structure.
And that's where the walls are, right?
What?
So what are the walls vertical or are they or are,
the
or are they like
part
are,
of the,
are they
the
rigged
roof,
in like
roof
pyramid?
The walls. Look at a geodesic dome. It's the same concept. The
okay,
walls
so,
are part of the roof. The roof is part of the walls.
Okay. All right. So, what I'm getting, if I understand it, if I understand this correctly, like people that build geodesic domes, they build the foundation that's maybe 6 feet high, and then they put the wall on top of the foundation, and then it starts curving from the top, from the base of the geodesic dome. It starts curving toward the top, so you have have the rounded.
It depends if you want to start. There are geodesic domes that start to curve right from the bottom. There are ones
that
are on.
They start at the very bottom of the dome.
Yeah.
But
so
you're saying you have a pyramid shape, and so instead of having like 6 or 8 foot walls, you're saying
I wouldn't say pyramid shape. I wouldn't say pyramid. I'd say if you were to look at it, it's very different. I'm telling you. I've never seen anything like it. So,
okay, well, I'm 6 feet one. So if I stood against one of your walls and put the heels of my shoes up against the wall, could I stand vertically or would I have to lean forward because the structure is tilting in from the floor level?
Forget about the concept of a wall. Forget about the wall. Okay. Look at it this way. If I could just say something here. Look at it this way. Look at it as, let's take a pyramid, although this doesn't, I'm saying it's the closest looking to that. Take a pyramid. That pyramid could be as tall as the Empire State Building or as big, and there are some structures like that around the world. Okay, now if you're standing against the wall, which is really the roof, the roof is the wall and the wall is the roof, you're right against the edge there, you're 6'1", or whatever, you're not going to be able to stand up. You're going to have to go step about 2 or 3 feet to the left, and then it gets higher and higher.
Okay,
right? Then
all
you
right.
go in the
so,
middle,
okay.
you're looking
okay,
up and maybe
you're,
at a
you're,
feet.
Okay, well, you're getting there. So if you have square walls.
No,
that's part of the roof.
No square walls.
Well, you said they're 28. You said you have square buildings, and they're 28 by 28. Lost me again.
forget about walls. The
well,
walls are the roof,
you.
And the roof
28
walls.
28.
The walls
okay,
are
so
the roof. Roof is
what
the
is
wall.
The 28 by 28? Tony, what does the 28 by 28 mean? I'm just quoting you. You
said
the
foundation is 28 feet. The foundation is 28 feet by 28 feet. The floor.
Okay.
The floor is 28
right.
feet by 28 feet.
Is it square?
Well, last time I checked, 28 feet by 28 feet is a square.
Well, you just told me it wasn't. So,
I mean, you
really got me confused. Hey, Mike, maybe
I said
you can help
square
me out here.
Geometry. I said it's square geometry. Everything is based on squares. I said it's 8, 12, 16, 20, 24, 28, 32, 36, 40, 44, go on. It's square geometry. The one we're putting up at Indian Canyon is 28 feet square.
Okay, well, if you have a square base, like the base of the, let's take the Giza Pyramid for an example. It has a square base.
Yes.
Right? Then, in the case of the pyramid, it has four triangular sides that meet at the apex. Are you saying your
right.
buildings are similar to that? They start.
No.
Okay. All right. Help me out here.
Your wife asked the question, what does it look like? And I said, well, it's not a pyramid, but if you were to describe it without seeing it, it's in that direction.
Okay, well, maybe this question will help. If you took your 24-by-24 structure, and you stood right in the middle of the floor. How high would the ceiling be?
Well, 28-by-28, I think we clocked it out in our 3D model, is 20 feet high, 28 feet high. Again, you're getting into areas where I'm a generalist, okay? When I work with these people, I understand the general concept. But we did, in the 3D model, we did measure it out to be, because I had that same question. And the answer was, well, they figured out, it's 28 feet high. It's similar to the geometry of a pyramid, again. You know, when you talk about Giza, all the amazing kinds of measurements based on the lunar calendars and all this, where its position in the world is amazing, right? Well, there's a formula behind this, and that's why we call it the MS, microwave structure. That's why it's totally expandable, and it's totally alterable in that way also. And again, I'm trying to explain to you where we're at this. Okay, I was involved in it many years ago with these prototypes, a little different, but I'd say 80% of what we're doing now in the concepts of structures, and I inherited all the drawings. They did 9 prototypes. I lived in one basic small one, actually employing this new technology component. And then I started bringing it back about a year and a half, 2 years ago, started working on it. I'm a president of an international trade association, and I'm doing this as much as I can do. And now I'm getting in like more and more full time here. And we're doing all friends and family money. We've gotten us to this point, and now we're seeking funding to pay a partner. It could be a partner architectural/civil engineering firm to take our 3D models. And again, I proved it because I lived in the minimum of it, and actually create the CAD/CAM drawings and manufacturing specifics to be the prototype is assembled here or maybe overseas. And then to erect the first two models, one at Indian Canyon, hour and 15 minutes from Silicon Valley, and one in kind of an area that's becoming, I don't know if you know much about Rwanda, but Rwanda is the fifth greenest country in the world. It had the terrible genocide 24 years ago. The worst probably in modern mankind history. You know, over almost 1 million people slaughtered. But through their leader, who's kind of a dictator, but he's really doing some great stuff there. President Paul Kagame, who's also the former chairman of the African Union, he just changed that position now. They're an incredible country. Ellen DeGeneres, in fact, Jack Ma of Alibaba, of all of the continents, all the countries in the continent, he launched his e-world trade portal, EWTP, look it up, in Rwanda. He just did it about a month ago, and he said he did that because of the president and because he says Rwanda is the future of Africa. So, and you maybe you know these things. I'm not, but I'm just saying that how I got into Rwanda, I'm getting back into the concept of Africa being at a crossroads here. Do they go the old 20th century way? And we know China is kind of devastating their environment and their search for minerals and ways to make money and investing billions of dollars into governments, et cetera. The African continent is very much different than, let's say, the United States or North America, because we're talking about, 50-something countries, all different leaders, et cetera. But yet, it seems to me from the business I've been in for many years that new technologies, especially in infrastructure, are difficult to launch in the U.S. A Native American might have the solution to that because they have a unique kind of sovereignty. You know, it's interesting about Native Americans. They're unique to the world. because not only do they have all the rights of American citizens, and we all appreciate that now as we're sitting here in America, but they have additional sovereign rights. So they're in a very good position to kind of move us into the right direction to save our planet. But getting back to the African continent, it's easier to launch technologies there. For instance, one of our partners in the transportation sector of our infrastructure, our 21st century infrastructure, has been working with San Jose State, and they have a facility there. You can look at inist.org to develop solar-powered pod car monorails. Very lightweight, slow, 35, 40, but to move around in a pod car, it can be 4 to 8 people. And he has models, et cetera. They were going to put try to do a model downtown San Jose, 1 mile model of this system. Trying to do things here, as maybe we all know, is very, very difficult. We're stuck in this old 20th century way of doing things. We're stuck. We're trying to keep it, repair it to keep it up to date, but that's where all our money's going, but we're stuck here. You can't do it. I mean, the good old boy network, special interest, money, this, this. Hey, you go to Africa. He went right to South Africa and started in Johannesburg. They're doing a 2 mile model there as we speak, immediately. But that's South Africa, which is very evolved. Now, you start getting into countries like Rwanda, that are a good portion of it. You know, they got about 9, 10 million people, about a million something live in Kigali. The rest is mostly Euro with a couple of smaller cities. They live out in the jungle, basically, villages, the majority, 90% of the population. They can now go from 19th century right into a 21st century. They can start anew. They can represent the world just like the Native Americans can here on the evolution of let's not do the same old mistakes. We want to create prosperity. Yes, we believe in free enterprise and capitalism in its positive way to make money and replicating what we're doing. But let's do it in harmony with nature. Let's save our planet. So that's why we've chosen Rwanda, and that's why we've chosen Native America as being the first two models for our idea 21st Century Eco Village.
I need to interject a little here. First of all, there is no sovereignty in the Indian nations unless those people have taken a step outside of our system, which there's only one tribe that I know that's done that, and that's the Pambina tribe.
Well, let me explain that.
No, let me give you a little interjection about where the sovereignty truly
lies. Yeah, but let me just, if you want me to respond, okay. Please remind me to respond to what you just said.
I can't get a word in edgewise, so why should I? This whole program has been about construction 101, but you don't have any foundation for where you're building this stuff. You're looking at systems that have existed underneath a totalitarian rule for the last multi-thousand years, and the very unique thing that occurred about 240 years ago was that one group of people set themselves apart from all of that totalitarian stuff. They have been slowly coerced and led back into a ditch that was existing prior to that point in time. And now, all of a sudden, you've got all these miracle little things that are starting to crop up, and everybody's talking about, oh, yeah, we have a right to this and right to that. But what they don't realize is, in effect, they've all allowed themselves to be and have agreed to be aliens of a foreign element and have no idea what they are in this system. Now, this system, the U.S., there's one other system on the planet that's mirrored to it, and that's Liberia. And the only reason that that very, very simple little country is mirrored to ours is because back in the early 1800s, they actually came here and took our Constitution and went there and set their system up to mirror ours. But them, like us, have allowed themselves to be drugged down that oh, I'll give you a better deal here, a better deal there, and the snakes have come in and literally turned the whole system upside down. So it's going to take a bunch of individuals, people just like me, you, and a few other people who are ready to wake up to what the system really is, to get back the sovereignty that not only applies to the people here in a specific category, but to the remaining part of the planet. This is what this whole little experiment began a long time before you and I were here. But it's come around again. And there are a few people that are ready to make the step. But as long as you want to talk about doing this and doing that instead of setting up the foundation to get rid of the problem, which is what people think they are and what they've agreed to, you're going to be stuck in the same rut that's existed here for thousands of years. And it's going to continue as long as people continue to go down the same road. So if you want to talk about a building, fine. You talk about pyramids, talk about all that stuff. That's great. But if you don't have a place where you can walk onto that piece of dirt and say, this is not subject to all the building codes, building rules and regulations, it's in 100% harmony with the all is, as we understand it, then you're still beating a dead horse. So sooner or later, and this is not rocket science that I'm talking about. This is some very simple stuff. And you got a system that right now, as we speak, where it's gone, where it's come from, and the people who have allowed it to exist and agree to it. And you're one of them. You still agree to what's going on out there. Otherwise, you would have already taken steps. The territory that you're looking at doing this on has separated those things that are in trouble.
You're breaking it up, but like,
I can't hear. What's going on?
Yeah, it's really staticky right now, Mike. You're breaking up too, Val. Okay. Oh my God, I'm getting a call. How's that? Is that better?
No.
Everybody's breaking up.
Call back. Yes, let's all call back. Everybody hang up. We all call back. Everybody hang up. We all call back.
Okay, let's do that.
Let's hang up.
Yes, everybody.
Yeah, well, who's gonna monitor the program? Hang up. The show is over.
You have to resolve.
But see that in the program.
Yeah, well, then I don't know what to do.
What happened?
It's breaking up really bad.
How's that? Is this any better?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Tony, are you there? Tony?
Can you abandon recording? Tony, use those cameras?
Yeah. Okay. We're back. I'm listening twice. It's a host and it's a separate phone.
You're breaking up again.
Yeah.
I'm breaking up.
What do you think's going on?
Well, it's only 20 minutes of the program anyway. So.
Maybe it's electromagnetic waves or something.
Okay. We're going to try another phone here on my end. Tony, are you there?
Wasn't
I don't see Tony here. Is Tony here? Okay. I'm going to call Tony back up. Just a minute, please. Yes, hello, Tony?
Yeah, this is Tony.
Okay. We're still a little scattered here. Yeah.
I can hear you very well now.
Okay. You're breaking up.
Oh, you can't hear me. No, I can hear you very well. Let me call. Let me try another phone. Hold on. I'll hang
okay.
up and try another phone. Okay.
All right. Please. Tony, you there? Tony, are you there? Oh, he's calling in another phone. Hi, Tony, are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me now?
My phone is still breaking up.
I hear you. I'm on the landline. I called you on my morning up when I or you were breaking. You know, landline.
Well,
I'm going to
go.
Clear.
That one, the last one. We'll call. Mike's trying to call. We'll call you, Tony.
When?
On your landline. We'll call you on your landline. If you could hang up, we'll call you. See if that's better.
Okay.
Okay. Sal, do you want me to hang up too? This is Sandy. I just dialed in. Everybody hung up.
And it's just him that's breaking up.
Thanks, everybody, for holding. We're having some technical difficulties. We're trying to call you back.
One, okay. How's this? Can anybody hear me? How's my voice right now?
You're fine.
Okay. Hi, Tim.
Hi.
Is Tony there? Okay. Tony, did you get back on?
It's 831.
Mm-hmm. We see you on, Tony. Are you there? Can you talk? We unmuted you, and you should be able to talk. We don't hear anything right now.
It's interesting how this modern technology acts up.
Yeah, it's like the old landlines were just a lot simpler in a lot of ways.
I was curious about how his villages were going to be for water and their sanitation.
Yeah, I was going to get into that here, the community part of it. Since we went into the structures, I was going to ask him if there's any images on the, because I didn't see any on his website. So if he has any images, I mean, that would explain a lot of things that we've been trying to get a hold on here for the last 20 minutes. If we just saw an image, it would explain a lot.
Yes.
Hey, Val, Bob and Sandy, we're back on again.
Great.
So is Tony with us?
Doesn't appear so. We can try and, Val, you want to try and give him a call, see what's going on? We have a number. We have an 831 number, but we're not getting any voice from Tony.
Four,
So in the meantime, you can go to Dean Val's show on creativeliteralsides.strikingly.com and view some of the previous videos that Val has made along with Sandy and Bob. And you can also go to newfoundation.club.
Hi, Tony. Maybe we can just talk through the phone, and we can everybody hear Tony here?
Yes.
Okay. Great, Tony. I was just relaying that maybe if you had some images, it would explain a lot. I looked on your website. I didn't see any images. The last 20, 25 minutes, we've been trying to get a hold of what it looks like, your structure. Are there any places we can go on the website to see a structure that you're talking about?
It should be, should be right there. This was an earlier prototype that we erected at down the bottom left-hand corner. It's a spacecraft prototype form.
Okay, what website do we go to find that?
Oh, 21ST, Century Idea. .com, 21stcenturyidea.com.
Okay.
But that's an earlier prototype. It's different now.
Okay.
But four of us put that up in 4 hours. And that was, structure.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, here you can have windows, et cetera. But you can definitely use the SIP technology, plywood, as I mentioned, and styrofoam. The inside was all veneered, beautiful inside. Four of us put that on a sandwich light, sandwiches all together, right? Put it on a pickup truck, drove it down to in front of the county building at the Spring Fair at San Lorenzo Park, and we put it up there. That's what you see there in 4 hours. And that was 1980.
Okay. We have like 10 minutes. Let's get into more of the community part of this, the infrastructure of the Eco Village. Did Tim or Claudia have a question on that?
Yes, I do. This is Claudia in Texas. My question is, I guess you could say from a mom point of view, in the structure, can you have windows? And how about toilets? How does that work?
You know what, Connie? He was probably not able to hear your question because we're playing with the technical stuff here. Can you ask it one more time?
Yes.
You cut out for a minute. Now you came back. The reason I don't like to use the mobile phone here is because the area sometimes doesn't get good reception. That's why the landline was better when we first called. But I didn't hear you for the last 30, 40 seconds.
Oh, thank you. Well, first, thank you for coming and sharing this information. It's just fabulous. My question, first one, is can you have windows in the structure? And also, if you have children, can you have more than one toilet? That's all.
Oh, okay. Thank you for asking that. Well, look at it like this one component that that I've been referring to for a while can be made in plexiglass, be clear. It could be something that you could open up in a way, get air in. It could be solid. It could be when a certain part of them, when they come together, can be a doorway. Not come together, but when they're not there. Of course, you can put as many windows, skylight. You don't want any window, like the model on the line shows. It's your choice, depending on how you want to utilize this building component for your structure and the materials, and the you know, what it's made of. It could be clear. It could be plexiglass.
In the toilets, compostable toilets, or what? How do you do the sanitation part?
Yeah, well, of course, the sanitation, I think, in respect to these kinds of, we're talking about, right, structures that are very affordable here, is a separate. One of these basic units, like the one I lived in, is separate, where you go into, and it could be a hallway protected from the environment, made out of the same SIP technology, but it's separate. You go there, you have, of course, a compostable toilet, and, you know, there are many, many good recyclable toilets, like Sun-Hypermar, Canada, but they use a peat moss for the catalyzing agent, and they get fertilizer in the bottom end. Although it's toxic, you can't put it on your crotch because it's human fertilizer. And you can use it for shrubbery, et cetera. Well, we have a new water technology, and I think this might be of interest. So this is a very important one. It's called Spirity. It's all written under the water section of the website. That uses a new kind of alive microorganism, very beneficial, discovered fossil material 60 years ago, that sort of eats up all chemicals and then speeds up the decomposition, eats all the bad chemicals, human waste, speeds up the decomposition, and when mixed with cow manure, and I have to say, I have to put quotes, it has to be cow manure. With this Spirity water, creates the catalyst that at the end, the bottom line of your compost, of your compostable toilet with human waste, it is organic fertilizer. Now, that's done as kind of in backyard technology. It has been proven, in institutional research. But we do have a video of a dairy, 500-cow dairy using this kind of water where there's no flies, no odor. The cows are producing better milk. The manure, the cow manure, was an organic fertilizer, which the dairy sold as additional income from, in addition to what he used for his own hay that he grew. So it's things like that. We're affiliating each one of our industry sectors with the best of breed. Okay, I just told you about the water. Of course, conservation and other ways of dealing with water. You know, the four biggest important, there's eight industry sectors to the idea, 21st century eco village, but most important are construction. You got to have a roof over your head. What the gentleman was saying before is very interesting, and I agree with him. But look more at these initial eco villages as being a business, an entity where you can make money, and look at it as a laboratory that proves all these concepts. And you have to have a roof over your head to do anything. So you have space. Water is the next important thing. And then if you got water and space, all you really need is energy. And, of course, new technologies to take non-fertile land, making it fertile. You can do it with water. So you need water, energy, and a roof over your head to start anything. Then everything beyond that, transportation, energy, waste management, communications, preventive medicine, as far, of course, you're always dealing in employing both Western technology. Well, you know, there's a lot to be said for Western medicine, respect to mending and healing. But as far as preventive medicine, that's another industry within the idea of 21st century infrastructure. Another prosperity-making industry. Each one of these is a prosperity-making industry for its workers and inhabitants. That is the process of creating prosperity. Look at more as a laboratory, because obviously these lofty concepts of moving into the 21st century, yes, we have to do that, but it's not going to happen overnight. So these first two are going to be, you can look at them as the laboratories. And there'll be businesses, there'll be profit making in each one of the eight industry sectors. Again, energy, communications, construction, water, waste management, preventive medicine. I'm missing two here. I always communications. You got to have a communication center for education, for entertainment, for business. There's two others there I can't think of. Are all industry sectors in themselves. If you look at this, let's say these initial eco-villages as each one of those operating and producing self-sustainable, restorative, regenerative 21st century technologies to not only sustain and live in harmony with Mother Nature in a zero-emission environment, but also be able to create prosperity by replicating what you are doing, because you can. Those people will be basically the pioneers of a 21st century infrastructure. I'm not saying that they'll be the only one, but it has to happen if we're talking about saving our planet.
Okay, Tony, let me interrupt you. We have like 90 seconds before this show ends. I think we can still keep talking, but it may not be that way. But in case we do
get... Yeah, I have to get going here, Bill.
Yeah,
Thank you very much for the opportunity to talk.
Thank you so much, Tony. There's a lot more we could talk about. Is there, again, could you repeat your website that we could go to, find out more?
Yeah. 221 ST. S as in Sam, T as in Tom, Century, CENTURY, IDEA, IDEA.com, 21st Century IDEA.com.
Wonderful. Well, you've been a wonderful guest. Thank you for your patience. And we try to bring the creative side of the literalness of life. There's many views, but we try to see the creative side and then go on beyond that. So, you've been fun,
yeah,
Tony.
Yeah, it's too bad that we were under because I was really agreeing with everything that a gentleman, I forgot his name, who was talking. But I was going to answer with him all of that. Yeah, but to stop all that, you got to have a place to do it. You got to have a roof over your head. You have to have the infrastructure to do it in the right way, to respond to that, to start it. And everything he said, I agreed with.
Are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay, yeah, the show is not being recorded anymore, but we're still on with the guests. So yeah, I just wanted to thank you again, and you know, we love to have people like you on that are doing something, taking the risk, and doing something of a benefit, especially for the environment these days, which needs a lot of help. So. You've got a model going on. Let's see what happens. We may get in touch with you in the future, because we're also looking at self-sustaining communities and seeing what we can do to offset what the governments are doing of the world, which are basically destroying everything. So we're also looking at something that makes sense. So thank you for all your good work.
Well, I had a chance to look at briefly at, on your new vessel project. And it looked really interesting, you know. And God, there's so much information you have in that. So I definitely want to learn more about what you're doing, because everything that we as a group of, let's say, people that are making efforts to try to move in the right direction regarding our environment, we need to synergistically work and collaborate with each other, with the idea of just like I like Elon Musk's decision to just open up his apps and technology to everyone. We all have to work together on this, and there's enough prosperity and sustainability there for everyone, especially when you're dealing in an environment that is a very efficient way to work and live in.
Right. Well, we're here to help guide people, educate them. Just for example, if you've heard of primary water at all?
No, I haven't.
primary water is basically there's more water underneath the earth than there is on top of the earth, and water comes from the inner earth in the form of condensation and creates the rain and snow and all that. So it's a renewable resource, actually. It's not what we've been told. So there's water for everybody, plenty of water. It's just getting to it and bypassing the propaganda that we hear. But things like that, we help people understand what's really going on in the world. And you can go to wonderfulworldwideeducators.com if you want to find out more about what we're doing.
Hold on, let me write this down. Okay, wonderful.
Yeah, www.wonderfulworldwideeducators.com.
Wonderful.
Worldwide Educators.
World.
Yeah, wide. Educators.
Plural?
Yes, plural, educators with an S.
.com?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
We're all over Facebook. We're all, we've got lots of other Blog Talk Radio shows. We've got Skype events and groups. So we're just getting...
Who was that man talking after?
Is it Bob or Mike? Bob was talking about...
The man that was talking when the communication went down.
That was Mike. He had to leave, but he has his views. He's part of the guests here that we have, Mike and Bob. So he has his particular views, and that's why we have the literal side and we have the creative side, and like I said, that it goes from literal to creative or your imaginative to what we call the real side or the real reality. It's like a process you go through to become more aware. So, people have
that's
their...
Great. That's great that you're doing this, Bill. I mean, you're taking that approach to that. That's great.
Somebody has to do it. So we're yeah. So, yeah. Does Tim have another... Tim, are you still here? You have a question for Tony?
Oh, I'm still here. Oh, I was just thinking about the communities and about how it would work for growing the food to be self-sustainable. Of course, we'd have to have a water source, either get to the primary water, which sounds like you have to drill into the earth very deep. But then you have plenty of water. And of course, you got to have the right climates for what you grow in places or give it an artificial light or whatever it needs, warmth. How do you see that about growing the food for the communities?
Well, there are many new kinds of agri-technology breakthroughs to grow more food with less water and more efficiently, integrating tea technology with the agricultural systems, managing energy, managing water, all through your smartphone, actually. And ways to produce food like vertical agriculture is a good example. Become more sufficient in the way, or self-sufficient in the way you produce your own vegetables, let's say. You can do it collectively and you can do it independently. But, I mean, there's so many breakthroughs now in agriculture, permaculture, new kinds of microorganisms, positive energies going into sustainable agriculture, restorative agriculture. It's very, a lot is happening in that area.
Yes, and then each community can develop their own, according to their environment, their own system of produce, you know, producing their food and how they want to deal with basically everything, the law, you know, any kind of laws or, you know, things like that. I mean, once people lose the agreement to live under what we have right now and start their own communities, they can develop any way they want where it will make sense, just like the Indians used to do. You know, each tribe had their own little ways of managing people, which was very little managing had to be done. They just, because they lived basically with just the sense that everybody's trying to survive, and so they support each other. So once you get that kind of attitude that everybody's watching everybody's back and supporting each other, especially the children and the elderly are being taken care of, then it's a lot better. You're a lot better off in terms of survival. So yeah, I'm gonna cut it off, Tony, and again, appreciate your time spent with us. And we'll be following, you know, we'll stay connected here, because like I said...
Yeah, let me respond to some of that information you sent. Thanks for sending that.
For sure, yeah. We'll keep in touch, because...
Maybe let's have another conversation about, because of what I said in my email, you know, we're out there seeking some seed capital, possibly people that we know, or you know, or we can... work together, you know, we can make referrals to sources that might not be interested in this, but they're interested in this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we can work together that way.
Exactly, exactly. We can support each other. And that just makes sense. That's the way life works, you know. It's the way the animals, they support their own and live in communities and survive the best they can. We don't need this... distortion that we get from the agendas that the governments have set up right now. It only makes sense to work together.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're going to have to be doing that more so, at least our generation and the ones that follow have to go in that direction. That's what the scientists said 12 years, and catastrophic things will happen if we don't turn this around.
Yeah, we're lucky. There's a lot going on with the chemtrails and the 5G coming in and all the pollution.
Well, I'll send you this, Mel. I'll have to remember this. I got a video I took on my iPhone of this chemtrail that I have never seen before. And it was so unusual because it went right down the horizon in downtown Santa Cruz. I showed it to a NASA engineer, retired. He can't figure it out. I'll send it to you.
Okay. Well, you know, NASA.
Was it big?
Was it big?
Was it a great big chemtrail? Oh, he probably can't hear me.
Can you hear Tim?
Say again.
Yeah. Tim asked, was a big,
I saw,
a big one.
I saw a giant one, the biggest one I ever saw not too long ago, towards all north and south on the west coast here from where I could see. It was a huge, huge chemtrail and thick.
Okay, now the one I saw was like that. But it went right down to the horizon. So I was standing, and I got a video. I can send you this. Give me your email address, or Val could forward it to you. I was standing about a quarter of a mile from Santa Cruz, the pier at Santa Cruz, boardwalk, quarter of a mile from there. I was close to the ocean. I looked up at this thing. It was in a parking lot. I looked up at this thing. It was real thick, but it came down onto the horizon, and it wasn't that far up. You know, I mean, you could tell when it's, and it looked like I, where I was facing, it'd be somewhere in the university area that came down there. It's very, I'll send you a video of it.
Yeah, please do. Please do.
Might have been the same one.
Okay, well, you guys got to educate me more on chemtrails because I don't know what they're doing.
Go to geoengineering.watch. Oh,
geoengineeringwatch.org.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, that it's a very the fellow's been doing research on chemtrails for many years. He's very very scientific, very detailed what he does. Very good information.
Wow.
Plus stopthecrime.net.
Stopthecrime.net.
Yeah. And then we've also interviewed him on one of our shows, too, that's Jamie Lee. And he has lots of information as well on chemtrails as well as other so-called conspiracies going on. He reported on the Paradise Fire. He went up there. And he, you know, the lasers that they used to start the fire up there, he took eyewitness, you know, he interviewed people that saw the lasers coming down and what they did, they devastated the city up there, Northern California.
But what's that all about, you know?
Well, it's land grab, government land grabs, you know, that now that people, they can't afford to rebuild because the permits or poisons in the ground or this and that. Basically, they just, I don't know, Bohemian Grove is nearby there too. They may want it for train, you know, the train that the high-speed train that they're talking about may go through there. Could be different reasons, but it's all an agenda that they have to enslave people, take the land, and do their bidding. These two websites are very good, too, to go to. And then the Wonderful Worldwide Educators, that's, if you want more answers in terms of how to get out of this matrix and to really find out what's going on beyond creation, you sing a new you sound, new you. It's a sound you can use to help you open up to your dreams at night and get answers. Your intuition will be better, you know, and you'll be able to see more about your real awareness and to see more, basically, what's going on. So, there's a lot for you.
Well, there's a lot of stuff to process here.
There's a lot, yeah, there's a lot.
I like your sources of information. Okay, I got to get going, and thank you very much. I'll look at these websites, and we'll keep our conversation going.
Great, Tony. Thank you for being on. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Bill.
Okay, thank you, everybody. Thank all the guests here. Thanks,
thank
Bob,
you
for hosting. And thanks, Claudie.
We'll see ya.
Okay.
Happy
bye.
Birthday.
Thank you.
Bye.